within a couple weeks, we are on Proverbs and Parenting. This is lesson 4 of 5 different topics on parenting. And so we should probably finish up today. The 5th one will be Paul on parenting. So when we look at Paul's writing in parenting, we'll be looking at text from Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Timothy. And we'll look at what did he have to say towards parents, towards children, and the New Testament commands there. Now I'll kind of wrap up our talk on parenting, then we'll probably move into how to study the Bible next, which is usually what we do after marriage and parenting. So got moving right along, right? I think where we ended last time is we had a rich discussion on the rod of discipline, right?
Yes.
The rod of discipline, right? And so we're getting into kind of this last part, right? The instruction, right? So we have discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so, if you remember, the goal of Proverbs, at the beginning of Proverbs, it's written Solomon to his son, right, imparting this fatherly wisdom. So we could kind of say that really every proverb is a parenting verse, a parenting proverb. So look at this list, and I want you to kind of have 2 pages open. All these references under positive attributes, if you kind of flip back a couple more pages, you'll see the addendum, right? Has all those already written out for you. So everybody make sure, look, you see those a couple pages later? Okay. So you might wonder, wow, man, I wonder what all these say. Well, there they are, right there for you guys to look at. So I thought first we'd just kind of read through all the positives here. So we have caution and prudence. Contentment, diligence and industriousness, discretion in choosing friends, particularly choosing a spouse. We have faithfulness in friendship and faithfulness otherwise, forthrightness rather than duplicity, generosity, gentleness, graciousness, humility, integrity of character, justice, kindness, patience, purity, restraint, righteousness, then self-control, particular speech, self-control also of temper, skillfulness in work, truthfulness, and honesty. Okay, so that's a full curriculum, you might say. That's a lot to teach your children, right? So I thought, let's just maybe brainstorm, how are children to learn these virtues? Right. How do we do this? How do we impart these virtues to our children? What are some things that we can do?
Live them out ourselves.
Live them out, right? So we've got example. Okay, that's a big one. Right. They can observe quite a bit. Mm-hmm. What else? Is that it? What's that?
Talk to them,
right? So we have example, and we have the instruction. Okay. And there's a lot of ways we can do that, right? So we have kind of, this is what you should do, right? This is the instruction. And we have the example of living them out. And then what else? Maybe anything else?
Depending on their age, how they memorize some of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so instruction could be a lot of things. It could be reading the Proverbs, right? It could be teaching or explaining. It could be memorizing. Yeah. That'd be good. Does anybody have, anybody grow up, or is anybody parenting, like have a time where you would read through the Proverbs? Yeah.
We did as part of our breakfast
reading. Yeah. Yeah, just read through. And it's conveniently, right? How many Proverbs? 31 chapters. Okay, so you can always just pick the day of the month, read that chapter, right? And then there's almost always something to talk about, right? It's a little different than like a narrative passage where you kind of just can talk about the whole thing at once. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you might read a chapter and focus on a verse or a couple, like each kid might, oh, what's this one mean? Or what's that one mean? Or,
yeah.
maybe you can apply one particularly to a particular child, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and Proverbs deal with real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times through debriefing,
mm-hmm.
like this kid was really mean to me, or
uh-huh.
I wasn't getting my homework done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of real life situations, so I think part of teaching is maybe pointing to a proverb
mm-hmm.
in the midst of this.
Yeah.
This kind of shows us why this is true.
Yeah. So that
so there's
that,
a dialogue.
Those real life examples, and it could be they're debriefing someone else, it could be instruction and discipline, right? So like Dave was saying, that when you witness behavior, either the children have witnessed it or experienced it, we really want to like help them to view it through the Proverbs, right? Help them to see how they were acting, right? So let's see, we would say like, you said, yeah, debrief. Can you think of an example, yeah, like where something happens at home or with your kids where you might apply a proverb?
Well, we use them in a kind of, this is me and the kids, in
mm-hmm.
a kind of funny way.
Mm-hmm.
So that if one of them was being lazy, I would say, go to the ant, and they'd all go, oh, sluggard, you know, like, where they just, like, but,
yeah.
you know, like, they all knew the proverb.
Yeah.
Let's be as wise as ants. Like,
mm-hmm.
high bar here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of a funny thing. Or, like, mm-hmm. if somebody was starting to lose their temper, it would be like, a man without self-restraint is like a city without, and they'd be like, without a wall, you know?
No.
And so when they're little, we kind of made it like a
yeah.
a fun way, but it's very visual,
mm-hmm.
and they get the point.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how Proverbs were used historically.
Yeah.
Is they're just little sayings, and everybody's like, oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
I know, the ant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little sleep, a little slumber,
mm-hmm.
a little folding of the hands to rest,
that's
and they
right.
didn't want to get up in the morning.
Right.
So we kind of used it in a funny way.
Yeah. Yeah, and so there's you can use humor, and especially when they're little, right? Because
yeah.
they really absorb they like to fill it in,
yeah.
right? Or if you can kind of get them started. So sometimes it's just reminding them, especially if you've read them many times.
Yeah.
Remember, and it brings it right back. I remember there was Sovereign Grace Kids did like it's all Proverbs
yes.
kind of put to song. So there's Lazy Bones, which is all about, I think there's a lion outside. Right. And, so there's different ways that you can kind of just have
yeah.
them saturate your life.
Yeah, I would. I'm not going to sing it, but I'd,
no, please
I'd always say, you know, a fool always loses his temper. A wise man holds it back. Proverbs 29:11. Remember, fools don't go to heaven. And I do it to the Yellow Rose of Texas. And it just kind of stuck.
We're going to record it later.
We'll
put it on the website.
I need a little auto-tune and AI auto-tune. And
some sound great. Engineers.
He did, though. Lois is his temper, but a wise man, you know.
So,
there was a dance and everything.
That was fantastic. It'll show up sometime.
So. Yeah, they'd be weeping and crying, and I'd be patronizing them with problems.
Yeah.
It's great.
We were reading through one. I always have to share that there was, a wise man loves instruction, but whoever hates it, hates correction is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
what
get
does
to use
that mean?
Stupid.
Yeah, what does that mean? And our child said, that means I'm stupid.
Out of the mouth of babes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got it. Right? So, we're talking about a lot of specific steps. Anybody else have specific ways, right? What can you do specifically? So we want to instruct them, we can read them, teach them to the children, memorize them, talk about them when you're debriefing. How does this look different as your kids are little versus how they get older? Like, when are you going to bring those proverbs up? So for instance, when they're really little, they might not be able to really talk about conceptualizing a lot. You're just reading them, memorizing them, they're hearing them over and over. But at some point, right, they may reach an age where they're
mm-hmm.
fighting or they have harsh words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk about, okay, with your brother and sister, right? And then how does that change as they continue to grow? What are some other situations where you could use them?
Well,
I mean, like when you're, like you said, when they're little, it's just, it's like the reminder and it's changing their behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let another one praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. That's when they're like, I'm the best. You're like, ah.
Right. Yeah.
Let another one praise you,
right?
But when they're in high school and they're like, you know, it's a different level of pride that they have, and a different level of like, they tell a story of how they've been arguing with their friends over which one of them the girls like better.
For example.
And
hypothetically.
You're debriefing about that later because you overheard this maybe at your dinner table.
Yeah.
And you debrief about it later and it's like, what do you think the Proverbs, you know, remember that proverb?
Yeah.
How do you think that would address this? And oh my goodness, I'm being the fool again. So it's just, it's the same thing. And it's the same thing that now at 45, I'm like, oh yes, let another one praise you and not your own mouth.
Yeah. I know that, like, you know, you always get, we're reading through them and like, what's the harlot? What is that? You know? So you have to kind of creatively
Carissa,
think
what would you say?
Yeah. Tell us what that is. What do you guys think it, you know?
what do you think it is?
So you can kind of, there's times where just coming up with age-appropriate things and, you know, like the adulteress and, well, it's someone who acts like they're married to them, but they're not really married to them, right? Should they do that? No. Okay. So then as they grow, right, and as they mature, they kind of get different depth, and some of those proverbs become more real in terms of the temptations and the wisdom. And a lot of times, again, when they're young, they might not be choosing friends, right? But as they get older, they might have more opportunity to see that wisdom. So like, can kind of, a lot of it, you're planting a lot of those seeds so that eventually, right, that can take root.
And when they're older, the consequences become more real, life consequences. So there's a warning, a stronger warning aspect when they're older, like, you continue this habit, this is going to end up like this in your life later on. So there's like a uptick in warning.
Yeah,
and sometimes as the kids get older, they're just more observant of the world around them.
Yeah.
And the Proverbs can be really helpful as far as helping them to interpret the world around them. Like, their uncle doesn't have a job and he's 40.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you interpret that?
Yeah.
You know, and so the Proverbs could be helpful with that. Or even like Proverbs 5-7. Like, what are some women you should avoid? I remember talking about that, and then I played for them Maneater by Hall and Oates. It's actually
very instructive.
They listen to it, and it's like, women could be this way. Exactly. They warn about it.
That's right. It's biblical.
It's biblical. Yeah.
Can you sing that one for us?
No, I'm not going to sing that.
It'll be on the album.
A little auto-tune. I'll sound just like Hall.
That's
Darryl
right.
Hall.
That's right. You could be Oates.
Yeah, you could be Oates. You can clap in rhythm.
It's an old musical group for those of you that are.
Hall & Oates, they're pretty insightful.
You're beyond. Okay. Well, there's a couple of negative attributes here that are just focused on a couple of things. Arrogance and vanity, and then the pleasure-seeking lifestyle. Now, what we're saying here is that when you look at those proverbs, go ahead and flip to the back. You got a shorter list here. Probably the last page.
Oh.
Right? Notice how we have pleasure-seeking Proverbs 21:17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So we're not saying those are the only negative things mentioned, but in these proverbs, there really isn't a positive thing that's countered with it.
Yeah.
It's, this is negative. This is bad, right? It's, you'll be a poor man. You'll not be rich, right? Scoffer is the name of the arrogant. Haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. So when you look at the Proverbs, usually it's not just, this is bad, this is wrong, don't be this, right? Usually we have a positive in this long list of positives that often can be accompanied with, but, right, if you don't do this, what might happen? Okay, so when you think about that, the way it's written and how it's oftentimes the majority focus is the positive, accompanied sometimes with the negative. Like, why do you suppose that's true? Why do you suppose it's not filled with just as many just negative. What, I mean, what can we learn from kind of that pattern? Anybody, any guesses? Okay, it shows us what to do and what not to do. Mm-hmm. What would be the drawback of maybe having it reversed, where the majority of the book of Proverbs was, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There's a couple that say, you should do this.
I think Proverbs is more concerned with showing you the path to the good life, the path
mm-hmm.
to flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is how God designed things to work.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just, like, all the negatives would just be, so there's just so much to avoid,
mm-hmm.
that what is it then that we're
yeah.
pursuing?
Yeah, and we think about, you could think about the Christian life and also parenting. You've got, right, what to put on and what to put off. And, I don't know, do you guys have any experience, have you ever maybe grown up or seen a family where it just seems like everything is No, don't. Like, what's the drawbacks, or what can happen in that situation?
Rebels?
Mm-hmm. How come? Yeah, an event, if all they hear is a negative, right, then they kind of get the idea that it's almost like them, like there's nothing that I do is right, nothing
mm-hmm.
I can do is good.
It also, like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If we're always like, no, don't do this, we're negating the, like the good, like there
mm-hmm.
is joy, there is
mm-hmm.
goodness in
mm-hmm.
doing things the way of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you definitely don't want to create an atmosphere at home where you're just constantly
mm-hmm.
talking about the bad and no.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like with Becky, like making it fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is reminding me of, there's a kind of interesting study, like just educationally with education level and vocabulary used at home, like some researchers would go and just observe, listen and watch. And they found that, you know, as the education level, sometimes socioeconomic status, as that increased, there was more positive language that kind of directed children towards what they ought to be doing. And sometimes when the parents, when the home was filled with just, no, don't do this, don't do that, the children had kind of stunted their academic, their learning, right? They didn't know what to do, where to go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's like when you see kids running in the halls out here, like often you'll say, walk,
mm-hmm.
walk.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where you're getting in a kid's face and saying,
yes,
do not run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and with that, our speech is to be like, whatever is pure, whatever is wonderful, set your mind
yeah.
on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're only telling children what not to do, we're telling them to set their minds on things that are not pure, not wonderful,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
And so then they just have this little black rain cloud standing over them as they walk everywhere.
Right. Okay, so let's kind of make this a little bit practical. And so you can kind of help if you've kind of been through this. But let's say, right, we're in this kind of, we want to instruct them, discipline, maybe we're kind of live debrief something. And your child is doing something negative. We could kind of make up some example, common ones, right? You're hitting your sister, right? Or they're arguing, yelling at one another. Right, one thing, right, you could say, no, you don't hit your sister. No, you don't yell at one another, right? So then that's the negative. So then how can we follow up with that? Should we just end there and, right, what else can we do?
Tell them what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You want to tell them what to do. And so we oftentimes will get that from the Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we know those Proverbs, and we can tell them, you know, harsh words are like bars of iron, right? Mm. So if you go through these, go ahead and look at those positive attributes. I'm going to flip to the back. This is kind of like, almost like a playbook, right? Observe, right?
Yeah.
Flow chart. Okay, my child is, okay, I need them to be gentle or gracious, right? A soft answer turns away wrath, gentleness. But a harsh word stirs up anger, right? We use that one quite a bit. We had a lot of harsh words, and a lot of anger was stirred up, right? But some of them, yeah, like if you look at patience, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. So some of these are like as they age and they learn how to be persuasive and sweet of speech and not be harsh, you know, with the people they're interacting with, they're going to have lots of opportunities to talk with people that they disagree with or that are ungodly. And so learning how to speak in a way that's patient and kind, right? You kind of have your flow chart here. Okay, so let's talk about a few things in terms of what might get in the way of us really teaching this character in the Proverbs and developing virtue. So what would be some things in your own life as a mother or a father or in your marriage that would prohibit you or be a real discouragement or an obstacle? What would make it hard to teach the Proverbs and wisdom?
Not knowing the proverb yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So if we don't read them, if we don't know them, we're not, especially in the real life scenarios, right? It's all of us can open the Proverbs and read to our kids, but if we haven't internalized that wisdom, then when they're acting, right, we'll be like, hold on a second, right? I know there's something in the Bible about this, right? So we want to internalize them. So for example, tell me like, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's something too that looking at the way that God sanctifies. Many times when we are young parents, right, we have a lot of growth to do in our character. And there's times where we just confess to our kids that, you know, God's really convicting me that sometimes, you know, when, you know, I sin, I get angry, and God is changing me in that. So there's a sense in which that you can seek to redeem those flaws and those sins, that when we are constantly, continually working to grow in those areas, you don't have to, you know, you support and lean on your spouse, but you can sometimes display that to your kids and show them that you're growing as well. It's a great chance to talk about the gospel.
Church was open and families were there, I needed to be there to be watching, to be learning, to be living in community, to have other people say, like, do you see what your kids are doing? You know?
Yeah.
And just living in community.
Yeah.
Like, just letting others love our family, me loving others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I probably say that all the time when I'm talking about parenting, but I think that to raise godly kids, kids that love the Lord, you must be sharpened by others around
you. Right, right. And all of us, I think one of those things is like we all come from a particular background and parenting style and all that stuff where we're going to all have blind spots, right? We're all going to overlook things or just not even know, one, that we're missing something that our kids are doing or that it's possible to change that, right? That there's an alternative way.
Yeah, and I think another way that's helpful is like you may not have every proverb memorized, but you have the lessons internalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes up when you compare the biblical version of wisdom with the worldly version of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this world teaches you that you got to be assertive.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't fight for you, no one's fighting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, be a thorn in the flesh. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Be assertive, whereas the Proverbs say a gentle answer turns away wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetness of speech increases persuasion.
Yeah.
You know, even like James, you know, wisdom from above is open to reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of those are contrary to the world's version of wisdom.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is just like recognizing what comes from the world and what comes from the Proverbs,
mm-hmm.
and making a wholehearted commitment to be a Proverbs person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They would just point out how sometimes the wisdom that from Proverbs is contrary to the wisdom that they'll receive in the world, right? And just about every area there's,
mm-hmm.
and I think that like Proverbs points out in the Proverbs, it teaches and like we mentioned before, helps them to see the world, and it helps, like Proverbs links, look at this behavior and look at how it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes our kids may not make the link of, think about like what you see in the life of the person that's giving you this other advice or wisdom or counsel. Sometimes they might see the wisdom of the world, but then in time they observe that the character and the life and the outlook,
mm-hmm.
doesn't end up the way,
yeah.
that they want. That they can kind of see the wisdom behind that, right? Okay, here's some objections. Let's see what we would say. Imagine, right, you're counseling, like Bridget said, someone comes and they're talking about parenting. So since we can't save our children, we know that, I simply need to teach them the gospel, right? I need to know the gospel. When they're saved, then the virtues will naturally spring forth from their spirit, right? They'll be transformed, right? They'll have a new heart, and they will just fruit of the spirit. What would you say?
I've been a Christian for a long time, and I still need to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
Through others, through preaching the word, through peers.
Yeah. So you could counsel them that just being saved doesn't automatically transform all of your behavior.
There's a lot of gospel conversations that happen within the conversation of the virtues.
Yeah.
So in a sense, while you teach the virtues, you're teaching the truth of the gospel, and that there is something wrong with us,
mm-hmm.
and the only that is the sin within our hearts,
mm-hmm.
and the only hope for that is Christ and sanctification,
mm-hmm.
through his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, when we talk about, you know, focusing on the gospel, remember too, you know, much of the Proverbs are really talking about like the actions, the way that we speak, the way that we act, and we can train our children to act and speak in all kinds of ways that are wise, but it's never going to, right, change their heart. So there's a lot that can be focused on over here that kind of can make those gospel conversations clear. And sometimes that training actually, I think as Dan is saying, it points out this,
mm-hmm.
connection. Because they might see us that they're trying to live and act the way they're trained, but they don't want to do that. Or they don't, you know, they just can't do that. And so, like, that repeated interaction, it really brings out the gospel when you have to address their heart. Like, why do you think you keep doing this? Why are you so angry at your siblings? Why are you why is it so impossible for you?
How do you teach understanding? I mean, is that something that comes with age as far as, because, like, a lot, like, we have little bitty kids, so right now,
mm-hmm.
it's just action,
mm-hmm.
we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But like we talk about, like softening your heart a lot, like when they're mad at their sister, or
mm-hmm.
she hit your sister, you have a hard heart towards your sister, and so we talk about the heart a lot, but
mm-hmm.
obviously they don't understand that in correlation with the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and so I guess when does that understanding come? I mean, it's probably different for every kid, but
yeah,
I guess how do you like start to link those things together?
Well, I mean, from just experience and from looking at the scriptures, I think there's a sense in which there's a lot that you're not sure when and how it's happening inside their mind and their heart. But you do see that as you focus on the concrete, they begin to make associations.
Yeah.
And you're kind of setting up in their mind a grid for this is good, this is bad, right? This is what we want to do, this is a sin. And so as they get those structures in place, they can start to, as their mind and matures, they're able to understand, okay, am I good, all right? Am I doing what I'm supposed to, right? And a lot of that comes out in the, I would say, like the discipline stage where you're talking to them. So like when they're really little, right? What did you do that was wrong, right? No, what are you supposed to do? And there's a lot of training there where you're not really focused on the heart. Really, you're just, this is what you ought to do, this is what you did. And then the questions, a lot of times you can do a little bit of questioning and probing as you know and you see them growing up, but they'll start to bring forth tons of questions, right? Sometimes we always said it's kind of can be frustrating if you ever ask your kid, why did you do that?
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue.
And that's an honest answer.
It's honest. I don't know. And you're like, well, yes, you do. No, they don't know. They don't understand their heart or why they got angry or I don't know. It's just I responded. So sometimes when they, right, that's a great example where we can, like, we look at the scriptures and we talk about not only what they should do and shouldn't do that's wise, but why are you doing that, right? And so we talk about the way that God made them to be good, but we're cursed, right? Their heart is deceitful and it's wicked and it needs to be. So as you explain that to them, it helps them make sense of why they're acting the way that they are and why they need a savior and why some people are different than other people, right? It helps them, again, as they see those proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think you're right. Understanding comes at all different ages for all different kids,
mm-hmm.
of what they understand.
Mm-hmm.
May want to add to that.
Our kids were at wildly different ages when they were able to handle, like, the heart talk.
Mm-hmm.
And when we could see that they, I mean, one of them very young, but she was also converted very young.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One of them much, much older, both boys. I'm still like, are we there? But no, really, it is true, though, that in due season you will reap,
mm-hmm.
if you don't grow weary. Like, you are
mm-hmm.
in the sowing stage. And you have to trust the Lord that at some time
mm-hmm.
their heart will get it whenever he deems it is due season.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it really is just, you're doing it by faith at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing it because you've seen it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, like, if we're just wanting, like, a general, I think once my kids got into youth group, like, and they were
yeah.
around it a lot more, you know, because
mm-hmm.
without me there,
mm-hmm.
moderate, you know, like, I noticed a lot of change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happening around that time.
Yeah, and there's something. There's a key distinction that, like, you're, when that child reaches that kind of adolescence, preteen, teenage era, they go from, like, the home is like the whole world, right? With just a little bit of, you got your interaction at church and some peers and stuff like that, but they're never really independent. And so they start to see as they step out of the home what mom and dad have taught me is really me and what is just doing what mom and dad want, right? And so that can be very, it's parenting goes there to, like, helping them now see the things that they're processing, right?
Yeah.
Helping them to see, you know, I know I've, because they know a lot up here, but they're trying to connect between if that's heart level and just in their head level.
Which is another plug for making sure your kids are always at church when you
mm-hmm.
group and
yeah.
Bible
right.
study, and so that those leaders and asking them those heart-probing questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would draw an analogy that, you know, I've advised my kids that, you know, one of the flaws of just, you meet someone and you just date and you only spend time with that person and then you decide if that's right. If you never see them around anyone else, you just don't know if that's really
yeah.
who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids kind of need some time to see what they're like in the youth group or, you know, at school or on their team. So, and that can be revealing. That can be a surprise to them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're there to kind of,
you.
It can be a surprise. Yes. Yes, it can. Usually in the negative surprise, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, I didn't know that.
Those leaders see things.
Yeah. You're not, yeah. Once in a while, they'll tell you something that's great, and you're like, oh, that's a wonderful surprise. Once in a while.
At one time.
At one time. But it's kind of like what Bridget's saying is that really one of the huge advantages of like the church and the way God structured it is that at every age level, right, oftentimes we have other parents that, oh, this is happening, and we talk about it, and what do you guys do? Oh, we did this, and how did it work? And sometimes it's just encouragement, like what David and Becky were saying, like sometimes you just sow and sow and sow and sow and weed and sow and weed and sow and weed and sow. And I think that there is a sense where we always look for like little fruits to bear, right? Not salvation, but just like little fruits. So when they learn to just come right away, yay, right? Mm-hmm. When they learn to say hi, right? Oh, yay, right? So when they learn to eat their food, right? Yay, right? And so you have all these little victories and you start to reap a little bit of that fruit, and that's really, I think, just so much encouragement.
Yeah. This is a Babylon Bee headline. Study finds everyone else is doing a great job parenting, and you're the only
That's
one
right.
having problems with your kids.
That's right. That's kind of the modern.
That's how it feels.
The modern
That's how it
life,
feels, yeah.
Right. Look at our dream life. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, and that's why if you're just like online finding community mm-hmm. about all these people who've done it perfectly, you know, just ask them.
Mm-hmm.
The community and just the face-to-face interaction, it's,
yeah.
I mean, it is encouraging. You're not the only one with bad
yeah.
kids.
Right. Yeah, if you want to be encouraged as a parent, you should teach little kids Sunday school, and you can see that everybody's kids are.
That's right.
Right?
They're all bad.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? You can see everything. You get both. You get both. You get like, oh, yeah, my kids isn't the worst. And you're like, oh, that kid's amazing, right? And so you tell me what you did with your child, right? And you, but then you see their other kid, and you're like, oh, it wasn't just your parenting, right? Happened to be that kid was particularly. Okay, so what about, let's talk about, before we move on, the other side of this. Right? If I really press into these virtues, this is another objection. Won't they just become like little Pharisees? Like a little self-righteous, pointing down at other kids. Right? How do we prevent that?
You have to tell them kind of your story.
Yeah.
Kind of share your example of
mm-hmm.
how God gave you grace.
Mm-hmm.
And He's strong in our weakness. So reminding them of our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And realizing that God has a big part to play in
mm-hmm.
our flourishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In our actions. Showing them your failures also helps because then it's not, to them it's not foreign.
Mm-hmm.
So they
mm-hmm.
they know that even mom and dad can mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they know that they're little sinners.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of it too is just like one of the issues with the Pharisees was that they lowered the bar, right? They made it to where they could achieve it. And so constantly bringing back, you know, Sermon on the Mount idea that, no, you may think this is what, but, right, this is the bar. This is what they were going to add.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, making sure that you're like, preaching the gospel in your home, because there's lots of parables and stuff that you can learn from as well. When you talk about, like, giving grace,
I can use like my sister and I. My sister was very outwardly rebellious,
mm-hmm.
and so those outward behaviors are just so much easier to see and to address.
Mm-hmm.
I was so much more inwardly rebellious.
Yeah.
So I was the Pharisee. I still battle with being the Pharisee. because I was the good, you know, in quotes, girl. And so I think it's super important to just really be in tune with their little hearts.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very, it's a very wise observation, and I think a lot of us know it personally, if you have siblings, and if you have more than one kid. Very rarely do two kids compete for the same, like, role in the family, right? If one is the achiever, the next one's going to pick something else. Or, like, if I'm the classroom star, they're going to go for sports, or they're going to go for music, or the clown, right? So knowing your kids' hearts and knowing, like, what is their tendency, right? What is, where are their areas going to be? Something to really pay attention to, because that can be a challenge. Yeah.
And also help and communicate that these virtues are not your means of salvation. I mean, that was the big Pharisee issue, is that your salvation is through doing these good things.
Yeah, that kind of comes, if you look at, I think last page 10, maybe, the danger, thought questions. What's the danger of treating these proverbs as commands? That's one of them, right? If we treat them as commands, well, if I do this, if I'm hardworking like the ant, right, then I'm being obedient. They could view it as like a works-based salvation. What else? What would also be a danger of trying to thinking about the proverbs like commands?
And if they see that, they can't start to think that, oh, I'm better than them because I follow the Proverbs. There needs to be some grace there and understanding of the gospel to know that I'm not even capable of following every rule. So they're not going to be either. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus.
Yeah.
I think in the Proverbs there's not only instruction, but there's blessing. If you do this, then general things will really work for you. If you're diligent and toiling, you're working your field, you'll have plenty of bread. And I think if we treat these as commands and guarantees, then when that doesn't happen, because they're not promises per se.
Yeah.
When that doesn't happen, the takeaway is, well, then this doesn't work.
Yeah, they don't work in the sense that we don't want to view them as, if I want this, I just do this. And it is, like you say, it's interesting because in general, right, we have that interplay between what's generally true and then the particulars of your life. So there is a sense in which, yes, if you want to be successful, have enough to eat, you work hard, you hope that'll happen, and usually it does. And then maybe it be for most of your seasons of life, it does. But there may be times where, there's exceptions, and it's not always the rule every single time. And so they're general observations that, and it also helps our kids, when we don't view them as promises, to realize that, everything is under God's sovereign control, and there's a lot of that uncertainty always points us back to trust in Him, that we can't always be guaranteed of what's going to happen every single time. So we always have to be dependent and reliant upon Him, trusting in Him. Right? Let's talk about question C. We talked about this a little bit. Why do you think God gives so much discretion to parents? Why isn't there just chapters of commands on this is how you parent, this is how you parent, this is how you parent? Why do you think that is?
Because it's different for each parent.
Each parent's different?
Well, each child is different.
Each child's different?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of variety.
Yeah.
Yeah, parenting one child's different. Parenting a child when you're very young versus very old is different. When you have a job, don't have a job, right? There's all these kinds of different scenarios, right? That you have to... And so instead, we're equipped with lots of wisdom about what generally happens. When you observe life, we want to learn to act in these ways. This is what's the wise course of action. Kind of trusting in God with the results there.
Yeah, I was going to say, one big part of it is I think He's calling us to trust Him. Because
So when you think about Proverbs, they're for our kids. And just, we talked about before, how can it help us be faithful parent? What's the big push? Like, if we didn't have Proverbs, what would we be missing if we were trying to parent without the Proverbs? It's maybe another way to ask.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
It is hard to imagine.
Proverbs, actually.
Because we have, like, teach them the commands, raise them with the discipline instruction of the Lord, and then there's this big
gap of real life.
Yeah, freedom there. And so we would be, and remember how we talked about wisdom is really like, it's not just knowledge, it's like a skill. It's like a skill, living skillfully with interacting with life. And so the Proverbs, right, it's not like it guarantees the win in the athletics analogy, but it trains you to be a skillful parent, to be a skillful player. And so with the Proverbs, right, that's one of the key ways it helps us to see and understand the behavior of people around us, of our own life, and of our kids, and then to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at the Bible, and like, why do we believe the Bible's true? Like, one of the big things is fulfilled prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Proverbs vindicates the Bible as a source of wisdom.
Yeah.
So it causes your child to look to Scripture for wisdom, look to Scripture for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by what the Proverbs teaches. There's no proverb that I think, boy, that really misled me.
Mm-hmm.
So there is kind of a discipleship element too, where that's just part of, you look to the Scripture, look how much wisdom is there, and there's more where that came from.
Yeah, yeah. When you, as your kids experience, they really find out, oh, that really was true, right? And then you see that more and more of each proverb.
Yeah, like I remember talking to one of my sons about accepting coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wow, I did what the coach said, and what do you know? I had my best game.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to talk to the coach and get more wisdom from
That's
the coach.
Right.
You know, and that was a big turning point for him.
Yeah. Yeah. My particular one that I remember telling my son was, like a gold ring in a pig snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like, watch out for the ladies.
Hall and Oates, man.
That's right. Well, here she comes. Watch out. Watch out.
She'll chew you up.
That's right. And you might have your own particular proverbs in your family that you refer to a lot. And a lot of times it may depend kid to kid and season to season that you just kind of remind and bring them back to those proverbs. Right? A companion of fools suffers harm. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. You can reflect upon these. Would your child be characterized as wise or a foolish child? Why do you think so? And then think about, what is the evidence of foolishness that you see in your child? How can the wisdom from Proverbs help you to address it? So think about, as you observe your child, there's going to be things that you see that match what is described in the Proverbs. So think about how you can bring those Proverbs and help you address. Because the Proverbs, remember, oftentimes they're paired together, right? A companion of fools suffers harm, but he who walks with the wise grows wiser still. And so if you see the negative, right, that might be a great chance to talk about that proverb. And then, what are some virtues your children need to develop, select some proverbs which help them to do so. This kind of goes to what we talked about before. All your kids are going to be different, and so you may figure out what to really focus on with the first child, and then the second child's a whole different set of things. One, it might be anger. One, it might be, you know, fear of man and people pleasing. One, it might be something else. Right? We're all going to deal with all of them. But okay, so the conclusion is, right, the entire book of Proverbs is really an act of parenting. The author seeking to inculcate his sons with wisdom. In light of this, the Proverbs are a useful tool, which a wise parent will resort to often. We want our children to express the blessing of wisdom, to experience the blessings of wisdom, which begins with the fear of the Lord. Those parents who have benefited from such wisdom in their own lives will in turn eagerly instruct their children in the wise ways of God. After the gospel, nothing will bring greater blessing to our children than the fear of the Lord and a disposition to receive wisdom. Okay. Next time, talk about kind of our last topic will be, what does Paul say? What does he give us in parenting? So let me just pray. Father, thank you so much for the Proverbs. As we said, it's hard to imagine parenting without the Proverbs. There's so much wisdom that is found there. Help us to be a people that reads and takes in the wisdom of the Proverbs. And as Dave was saying, we may not memorize every proverb, but help us to live by and understand the principles of wise living that we find there, the themes that are often repeated, the consequences that often accompany wise and foolish behavior. Help us to point it out in our family and the world around us, and help us to interpret life in light of the Proverbs and wisdom. Help us to become skillful in how to live and how to skillfully direct and parent our children. Pray that this might bring them great blessing and prepare them and prepare their hearts for the gospel. I pray that again, you'd help us to be faithful parents seeking to honor and glorify you through faithful obedience. In Christ's name, amen.